We've talked about some of the great players, but I think we'd probably be interested to hear from you know your years with the second team and your years with coaching about some of the good players who mainly played in the seconds and never really made it with Gloucester, and perhaps even one or two you think might have done or should have done, you know.
Yeah, it's quite funny. When playing and coaching, there's a lot of players that were very good at local came down, and they'd done everything in local, but they couldn't adapt to playing at Gloucester when they had to do their role. And then there was other players, and I just can't think of specific names, who came down who were very good at doing their job. They were very average players in local, but then when they got other good players around them, their whole game, you know, picked up. And that was the sort of thing I tended to notice over the years. I can't really think of any, you know, names at the moment, but there was a, you know, a lot of players that really, and they raised their level of playing, especially in the United, when we had a successful United side. Mm-hmm. And it was a big thing for local players to come down and play some games for the United. You know, a lot of them really, stepped up and, you know, played them up. You know, one I can think of, little Liam Morgan from Cinderford, didn't play many first team games, but he could play centre, he played scrum half, and he played in that tens winning team, and he played over in Kinsale, but never really got, you know, major recognition, but always did a job, you know. But he really raised his game when he came down. That's just one example I can think
of. I'm thinking of, I don't know whether you coached him, who I thought was very, very promising, and he just sort of fizzled out in the end. Paul Matthews at Fly Half.
Neil Matthews.
Sorry.
Neil Matthews,
yes.
Beautiful. What a talent. Yeah. I think Neil had a little bit of a problem. He wasn't quite sure, you know, he only played out some half, but he wasn't sure that was his best position. So they tried him at centre, and, you know, I remember Chalky White from the South West always said he might be better playing on the wing. I don't think Neil realised his full potential.
No, that's what I was.
What a beautiful player.
Yeah.
You know, well, beautiful balance, beautiful runner, laid people off, you know. I'm full of admiration for Neil.
I think he went off.
He picked a few injuries up at the end. I can't say high enough of him. Excellent.
Yeah, I think he went to Lydney afterwards, didn't he?
I can't remember, to be honest.
He did.
I can't remember.
Yours ooze class, it seemed to be.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, people like Bob Phillips and people like that sort of gone on and played higher level. Do you know what I mean? They were these people just did the workload. You know? Jerry Hearn was a big example. He should have had, you know, twice or three times the number of first team games that he got. He was absolutely as hard as nails. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, he was around a long time. Didn't play many games per season.
He was United captain for a long, long time.
But he played a huge number of United games.
Yeah.
And a lot of games for the police.
Yeah.
If it came to actual number of rugby games played during the season, Terry must have been ahead of everybody.
But it was like that then. In fact, you'd be playing for Gloucester, but there's a charity game on the Sunday. You want to go and play in the charity game. You know, someone's got injured in the charity games, but, you know, you wanted to play rugby. These people now, they play 10 or 12 games a season, some of them. And really, we all forget rugby is about enjoying it.
Do you ever wish you'd played in the professional era?
No, I think I couldn't have done it. Not with my career.
No.
I think I was fortunate. I think we had the benefit of seeing some great years. I think we're playing in a transition where you couldn't kick it a touch outside your, you know, outside your 22 in the 70s. So that started bringing the attacking fullback in. And even then, but then we used to have the thing where we had crush tackling wingers, and the fullback would take the last man. Then that went out of fashion, and we've gone back now to crush tackling wingers again, haven't we? You know. And I think there's a big transition then. There's a lot of innovations in the game. Do you know what I mean? More attacking play. I think I was very fortunate to coach in a time when there was a lot of changes going on as the game started to go more and more professional, and coaching came into it. So there's a lot of new ideas. I think they're all struggling now for new ideas. I think the game's got very, very static now. But then, you know, it was always, you know, and to be fair, Keith Richardson was an excellent coach for coming up with new ideas, you know. So, no, I wouldn't have swapped anything that I've done in rugby. I've made a lot of friends. 10 years at Gloucester, 60, playing 6 or 7 years coaching, going to these other clubs, you know, it's been absolutely fantastic. And yeah, a lot more open play, you know, a lot of people playing with different shapes and sizes. That, you know, which we don't get nowadays, but you got, you know, the Richard West of this world is 6'10", whatever he was, you know, and you get the, you know, the roly-poly hookers like Kevin White, you know, but you get all these sort of, you get all shapes and sizes, you know, and you have the little spindly wingers, you know, and scrum halves, you know, and...
You just mentioned Richard West, any observation on him? Because I have my own opinions about him, but how did you find him, his application?
I don't think Richard reached his full potential.
No.
You know, I think he always struggled, you know, he was never the strongest in the gym. For all his size and everything like that, but it suited it. You know, then the line-out was such that you didn't have the gap. You needed the big, tall people, you know, and, you know, he got his cap, and but I don't think he realised his full potential.
That's what I always thought. You know, he went on to Saracens and didn't do very well.
That's right. You know, you know, I've got to say, good player, played well, but he could have done a lot more.
Yeah. I know you were a back, but have you any observations on the modern scrum and the way?
That passed through my mind as well, to be honest.
I thought it was coming back to it with this, you know, putting the ball in straight. And then you get like the other week we played against Leicester and the ball's not going in straight again. So they're hot on it for 1 minute and they're not. Yeah. And I think what they had all this thing, it came with the Argentinians, I think, years back in all this power play. So they convert back rows into hookers and they all forget how to hook.
Well, it was an 8-man show for the Argentinians. That's right. They just pushed you over the ball.
Well, that's what they're doing. That's effectively what Leicester were doing against Gloucester the other day. But and I thought, we're getting back to proper hooking now, because the likes of Steve Mills, Fred Reed, Mike Nichols used to hook the ball with the head sometimes. And what they forget as well, these second rows get used to walking over it, but then the ball was properly channelled. And I think Keith wrote a very good article in the paper, and he's right. It is now, if your scrum is not up to it, you used to look at getting the ball in quick, and the ball will come out channel one. Not leave it to go around to channel two. It will come out the shotgun out of channel one. You know, we could always, you know, we used to stand somebody across to pick it out of channel one. So now you're waiting on the referee to tell you when to put it in. Well, what you want to do, once they're actually down and engaged, if you've got a weak scrum, you want that ball in, so your hooker taps. He'll tell. The referee doesn't know when he's ready. So you need the tap to come from the
I suppose the referees are conscious that this... The scrum should be stationary when it goes in. That's what we're waiting.
I know, but we didn't used to have problems with the scrum. And we all forget that a scrum is just a restart. Everybody's looking to get a penalty from the scrum. And, you know, sometimes the ball's coming back, albeit, you know, it's collapsed at the front. If it's coming back, get it away. Otherwise, we're not going to... If you're not going to get any ball coming out of the scrum, it's your best attacking play. A scrum on the left-hand side of the field, where their scrum half on that blind side with you. You've got all your backs against theirs, and you can bring your blind side winger in, you can bring your full-back in. So you actually want the ball to come out the scrum.
Yeah.
It's your best attacking play. And if everybody's looking for penalties off it, you're not going to use it. So, you know, the referees have got to let it play. They've got to do something to get the winging ball on it. Mind you, I suppose half of it is the coaches killing it, isn't it? It's coaching that's killed the game.
But you practically have to put the ball in crooked these days. If you put the ball in straight and you've got two evenly matched scrums,
that's right.
The ball sits there.
Well, they've got to hook it. They've got to hook it, you see.
But they don't.
I know, they've got to hook it.
Even when they're evenly matched, you know, and the scrum is rock solid stationary, nobody's hooking that ball, and it just sits there, which is ludicrous.
That's right. You know, I know that Saracens last year got Graham Dorr up, didn't they, to do some coaching with them, just to get the old-fashioned hookers hooking the ball. You know, and they, you know, the one, you know, going the one against the head, you know, where you're tight end, you know, but apparently, you know, hooks it back sometimes, but you know, you can't do that. I think the pressure's too much more in the scrum than it ever used to be. Do you know what I mean?
My gripe is that there's not supposed to be any pushing until the ball goes in. Everybody knows. As soon as they come together,
you start
wrestling for position, they shall just rest until the ball goes in. But that never seems to occur to
me. I don't know what's going to happen.
It's a shame because it's going the way that the scrum in rugby league went in the past, and we know what's happened to that.